Hello again, Arthur Vachon, Bella Bay Realty. I'm going to talk about another topic, rising interest rates. That's a big, scary concept. Just briefly wanted to chat about that. You know, we're coming off from the super low interest rates and threes and fours, and, you know, people did very well with that. You're essentially, can't say getting free money, but pretty cheap money to purchase a home, and it's been that way for a long time. So, you know, people are kind of spoiled, I guess is the best way to put it, with these low interest rates. And, you know, what goes down must come up, I guess. It's not really saying, but I'm saying it. The interest rates do have to fluctuate. They do have to rise. They do have to have a cycle. And right now we're seeing a cycle of climbing interest rates. You know, I don't by any means believe that they're high or scary in any matter. Hell, when my wife and I bought our first house back in 1998, we got 8.375, and I thought I stole that money. So, you know, it's just relative to current economic state. And just taking a quick peek here, today's rates, this is offered by Lending Trees website. You got 4.375 on a 15-year fixed, 4.875 on a 30-year fixed. If you were FHA 30-year fixed, that's 4.75. And VA 30-year fixed is 4.875. So, you know, those are not horrible interest rates in any way. There's still tax advantages of interest deductions. Keep in mind, borrowing money, you know, like that. I think I heard a calculation the other day. You're $4 to $5 per thousand per month. So, you know, $100,000 house, say $400 to $500 house payment, and then of course you got your taxes and insurance and escrows on top of that. So the interest rates the way they are, you know, I would not be terribly concerned. It's still a great time to buy. One of my previous podcasts, I kind of discussed the imbalance of inventory and how that's starting to even out slightly. So, you know, combine that with values leveling out and people not feeling so inclined to inflate their purchase prices or, you know, go way higher than what the sellers are asking. That again, that translates to a good time to buy, great values, and so on. Sorry, I had to take a client call there, so sorry for the interruption. Anyhow, again, back to the interest rates. I do feel that they're still fair, and I feel that it is a great time to consider not only selling, but buying, and take advantage of this market. So any direction you need towards specific lenders, or if you need a lender in general and like help with that, I'm happy to assist. Feel free to reach out to me. Again, my name is Arthur Vachon, and I am with Bella Bay Realty. Hope you enjoyed. Hello, hello, Arthur Vachon with Bella Bay Realty. Hey, today's topic is kind of an interesting one. Obviously, I'm biased, but it's how to choose a realtor. This one is I guess could be kind of a lengthy discussion, depending on your thought process here. But anyhow, choosing a real estate agent, that is it's an interesting topic, because it's hard to, for me as a real estate agent, to say who you should choose or how you should choose, because obviously I'm biased. But I guess if I were in a buyer or seller's shoes, I would look for a number of things. You know, experience has its merits. Production has its merits. Marketability as far as their exposure on social media and other third-party search engines would, you know, that all has a lot of impact. But for me, I would want someone that's actually knowledgeable of the industry and truly understands how things work in real estate, not related, you know, specifically to how do you put a house on an MLS or photos or any of that. Those are all the basics. It's really how they understand the current market. You know, we just came off from, I mentioned this in a couple other podcasts, we just came off from a crazy time to list a house here in West Michigan, and it was really interesting dynamic. You know, sellers were in complete control of the market. They had the ability to, can't say set their own price, but set a price and, you know, tactically place that house, position it as far as the price goes to trigger multiple offers and, you know, capitalize. And so I saw different sides of that equation. So I saw listing agents who completely understood what they were doing or how they should do it and maximizing their client's investment. And then I saw buyer's agents who just completely were lost and had no idea how to do their job, honestly. I've been doing it long enough, and I will say, you know, some of the younger generation of real estate agents, they missed out on what it truly means to represent their client and get out there and get the offers accepted. And, you know, simple basics, you know, you take the time to sit down and you write an offer, which 9 times out of 10 now is not even done face to face, but you write the offer for your client. And then you simply email it over, and that's it. That's the end of your presentation, if you will. And I have no idea, you know, as a listing agent, who your clients are, what their situation is, how I can present their offer to help you. And so it, I hate to say it, but sometimes the offers that were done properly, at least in my opinion, were the offers that prevailed. And it's not a very difficult thing to do. You write the offer, you send it over, you call the listing agent to let them know that, hey, I just sent you an offer, and here's some of the highlights of the offer. If they don't answer, you leave them a voicemail. After you've done, or after you've left them a voicemail, shoot them a text message. You know, that's probably the biggest form of communication now in real estate is text message. But hey, I just sent you an offer. Please confirm you received it and let me know if you have any questions. I mean, these are the very basic things that we should do as a representative of our client. There was a really interesting change that happened in real estate, and that was listing agents requesting that there not be any cover letters or anything pertaining to the buyers themselves, which I'll be honest, I think is kind of a shitty way of doing things. I want to know. My clients typically want to know, you know, who is this? What's their situation? Because you got to remember, it was their home. Typically, it was their home. They lived in it. They want to know who's taking over. So I don't know. I think it took the took the personality out of the offers, and it just became meat and potatoes, and it's just really weird. So anyhow, back to how you choose a real estate agent. I think you have to identify someone that relates on your level and someone that knows, you know, how to present offers, write offers, structure the offers so that you will win. I mean, we're not out there looking at houses. Excuse me, not out there looking at houses and writing offers for the fun of it. You know, if you are, you're probably not doing very well with that. So anyhow, I would look at, you know, their time in the industry, their success rates, areas of expertise. That's huge. You know, if you have an agent that is not accustomed to certain areas or geographical locations that are outside their norm, you know, maybe that's not your agent. And that's a tough thing for me to say because, you know, I myself have helped friends and family purchase in areas that I don't have familiarity with. But I take the time to at least figure it out. Just recently, my sister purchased a lake property. Excuse me. Purchased a lake property and, boy, it was in a county I'd never heard of and a township I'd never heard of. And it was just a very different type of process because they do things differently over there. So it was a good learning curve for me. I enjoyed the process. I was actually able to uncover a few things that the seller didn't even know in regards to the property. So, you know, I dove in and I did what I had to do to make that transaction happen and happen in a way that was fair to both parties. So, you know, having a realtor that's willing to invest the time and energy, I think is crucially important. You know, kind of talking about family and friends and, you know, those are usually our biggest advocates, but it doesn't necessarily always translate to being that real estate agent that they choose. In fact, a cousin that I have that we're fairly close and he had to uncomfortably call me and explain that, you know, I wasn't going to be able to help him because the area that he lives in, he has a friend that he grew up with that's familiar with the area that is also a licensed realtor, and I wish him the best of luck. I mean, it makes sense to me. It's hell, if I could win every one of these leads, if you will, that I get, I'd probably be retired at this point. You know, I know I'm not going to get them all. I'm not the only agent in town. So the reality is if it makes sense, you know, absolutely, you do what's best for your situation. I have no issue with that. In fact, I just had, I don't know if I should mention it, but I had a neighbor that the look on his face was priceless. He truly, it looked like he felt horrible that he was going to choose someone else to list his house. Now, obviously, I know this area. Obviously, I know their situation, and I can look out my window and see his property. So, you know, it was probably very tough for him because I am an expert in the industry. But he has family that, you know, he wants to help them out. And I don't blame him at all. You know, I'm still going to try to help market that property as far as representing a buyer. And it's because, well, it's going to be my neighbor. So I want to kind of have a hand in that as well. But, you know, it's just what we're here for. There's two sides to each transaction. It's a buying side and a selling side. And, you know, I think us real estate agents, we should all work together instead of against each other. So, again, choosing a realtor, just go with what's best for your situation. You know, one thing I will say, having been on the other side of that and not being the one to help them, it's a tough pill to swallow, I'm not going to lie. But it is what it is. So, you know, it's how you handle it and explain to that realtor that you know that, hey, you know, I did decide to use someone else. And it's for these reasons. So it's hard to argue with logic. So that's my take on it. If you have any questions or if there's anything I can do to help you, please reach out to me. I'm Arthur Bichon with Bella Bay Realty. I hope you enjoyed. Hey, Arthur Bichon, Bella Bay Realty. Hey, so I got a question from someone, kind of a interesting topic, and the question was, are we going to see another bubble burst? And, you know, I don't know. I can't really answer that question because nobody has a crystal ball as far as where the economy is going to be. You can look at analytics and you can see different opinions and expert opinions. Excuse me. You know, the crash we had in, everybody says 2009, 2010. Really, I think it was ramping up in 2007 and 8. We saw an epidemic of people getting mortgages that shouldn't have been able to obtain a mortgage, lenders being sneaky and doing things that were illegal. And I don't believe we're there. I don't believe we'll ever go back to that. But having said that, you know, I've seen programs come through that were reminiscent of that time. I saw a stated income program come through. And if you don't know what stated income is, basically you tell the bank what you make. And that is a catastrophe waiting to happen. People are their own worst enemies when it comes to their finances, or at least what I've experienced. And they get hooked on the process of buying a home, way too excited, and kind of throw logic out the window, and set themselves up for failure. So, you know, will we get back to that? I don't think so. I think the banks have tightened up the restrictions on lending, and there's guidelines in place now. And even though a stated income program is out there, I'm gonna assume it's at least documented with, you know, bank deposits or something to protect the investors. There's a lot of investors that lost a lot of money in that time period in the past. So, you know, as far as a housing bubble burst, values have climbed. I will say what I experienced this past, I guess, spring and summer, appraisers were still with the mindset that the home has to appraise. The home has to still be comparable to the surrounding area. And I did have a couple surprises. There were a couple that I thought, you know, maybe appraised higher than they should have. But it worked out. And, you know, one concept I've had throughout my entire career, a house is worth what someone's willing to pay. And what I mean by that is if you have a ready, willing, and able buyer and a ready, willing, and able seller, and they've come to an agreement and isn't out of line of where the comparable sales are, you know, and it's obviously their intention to stay there for at least a few years, you know, if they're willing to take on that risk, I think it's acceptable as long as it's within reason. So, you know, kind of running off on a tangent here, but I don't know. I really don't know if we're going to see that like we saw, or at least the proportion that we saw back in 9 and 10, when short sales were rampant and foreclosures were everywhere, and it was chaos. So you look at just recently our board brought in a economic analyst who predicted a great increase in the economy and overall values of property, and said 2029 we're gonna see a disastrous implosion of our economy and you know, and like we've never seen before, Great Depression type situation. So, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. I personally think we're going to see, as far as real estate is concerned, I think we're going to see continuing elevation of value. Not like it's been the last couple years. I think it will start to plateau out, but I think we'll still see above average value increases for at least 3 more years. You know, obviously pending any national catastrophes or continued increases of interest rates. You know, I think we're all going to be safe for a little bit. You know, what goes up must come down is the saying. So there has to be a balance. There is a cycle of the economy. So, you know, I don't think so. I guess that's my best educated opinion of it. So for what it's worth, no, I don't think we're going to see that, the burst. So all of my ramblings, basically I'm saying it is safe to buy. It is a good time to buy. It is definitely a good formula for lower interest rates and fair values. And with the increase of listings, homes, you know, they will sit on the market a little longer, so you can feel confident to list your property and find a property simultaneously. And, you know, I think it's just a good overall balance at this point. So if there's anything else I can do, feel free to message me on this wonderful app. And I hope you enjoyed.